Dublin, 1982. 33-year-old Charles Self was an English-born, Scottish-raised, Irish resident. The trifecta! Sorry, Wales. Charles was travelled, active, creative and popular, and had a fun, bubbly personality. He was well-liked by all, seemingly. Hey doll, I've got an unsolved one for you today. One of the most tragic things about this case is definitely that it could have been solved, but at the time, the lack of enthusiasm by the Garda has allowed this case to go cold, and it might never be solved. Charles, or Charlie Self, was born in England on Valentine's Day, 1949. Sadly, not much is known about his younger life. It seems that his mother died when he was quite young, and his father was in the military and, like, married somebody else or remarried. I'm not too sure. Couldn't really figure it out. Either way, Charlie was raised by his aunt in Glasgow, Scotland, with whom he always maintained a good relationship. In his late 20s, Charlie nabbed himself a job working at the BBC. Then, in 1978, he was persuaded by Alpha O'Reilly, an actor and artist with the RTE Art Department, to join him to relocate to Dublin. Charlie moved to Annesley Mews on Brighton Avenue in Monkstown, where he shared the house with Vincent Hanley, a DJ often described as Ireland's first gay celebrity. Life in Dublin was working out well for Charles. He was the main set designer for The Late Late Show and had worked on a popular Twink Christmas special. Hopefully I can find a picture of that. And he also worked for Capital Radio. Charlie's work at RTE was noticed and appreciated, and he was due to have a much deserved wage increase. Was due. On Wednesday, the 20th of January 1982, Charles met with friends for a drink at lunchtime in the Old Bailey pub on Duke Street. After lunch, he walked with a friend along Dawson Street before heading back to RTE. After work, he went home. Then, at 8:30 p.m, Charles was given a lift to the city centre by a passing motorist after seeing him waiting at a bus stop. The motorist dropped him back off at the Bailey Bar at about 8:30. Charles stayed here for about half an hour. At 9 p.m, Charles was then seen in the South William Public House, where he remained until about 10:30. He then went to another pub, the gay-friendly Bartley Dunes Pub, where he remained until closing time. Charles then walked down Grafton Street and D'Oyler Street to Borough Quay, where he bought takeaway food at the Hot Pot at 11:40 p.m. He left the Hot Pot at midnight. At this point, Charles was with a fair-haired man in a two-piece suit. The pair got into a taxi at 12:20 a.m. The taxi man said that his passengers got amorous, frisky, in his back seat, and he quickly dropped them off at Annesley Mews at 12:40. A time that was confirmed by a Garda who happened to be on a 24-hour watch duty outside a judge's nearby house. Now, remember, or FYI, during this time, practicing homosexuality is illegal. And being male gay was not decriminalized until 1993. That's crazy, right? What were you thinking, Ireland? I don't think gay people were literally being sent to prison for being gay, but it really does show where people's attitudes were during this time, during like the early 80s, the countries and people's attitude to the gay community, if they allow these laws to remain in place. Vincent Hanley appears not to have been in the house that night, but the RTE graphic designer Bertie Tyre was using his room, as Bertie was in his late 60s and didn't want to drive back to his little Wicklow cottage in the icy January weather conditions. Now, almost every night when Charlie came home from a night in the town, Charlie would crack open a bottle of wine and listen to music or watch music videos until he fell asleep on the sofa. However, that didn't happen this night. At 9 a.m. the next morning, Bertie came down the stairs to find his friend and work colleague slumped against the front door. Charles had been viciously, savagely murdered. He had been stabbed multiple times. He was covered in and lying in a pool of blood. his neck had been slashed and a red dressing gown cord belonging to Vincent Hanley was wound tightly around Charles's neck, with the other end tied to a chair. The living room was in disarray, furniture tossed and blood everywhere. Bertie hurriedly tried to call the police but couldn't get a dial tone. The phone lines had been cut. Bertie ran next door to use the neighbour's phone. He called the Garda. An autopsy showed that Charles had been stabbed 14 times with an 8-inch kitchen knife. It was violent and aggressive. Some of the wounds went right through Charles and out the other side. The coroner noted that it would seem impossible that someone would sleep through such a brutal murder. But apparently, somebody did.
Bertie?
Bertie said he heard no commotion during Charles's death, but he was awoken in the middle of the night when allegedly a man came into his bedroom at around 2:30 a.m. The man said something like, "Oh, sorry, wrong room." Bertie described the man as being well-spoken with a West Brit accent and having dark curly hair. Bertie completed a police identikit and, being a graphic designer, made a sketch of this man, a drawing that would become controversial in this case. Garda also made a photo fit of the blonde man who shared the taxi with Charles that night. The taxi driver described the man as being about 25 years old with fair, brushed back, collar length hair. He was wearing a neat two-piece suit and his longish face was clean shaven. The Garda have never released the Bertie sketch or the taxi man's photo fit, and to this day, this very day, refuse to release them. Why? Why? I don't know. Homophobes is my guess. These two drawings are obviously of two different people and they're two suspects. Why wouldn't you release them to the public? People have been caught with this type of procedure, guidelines, action before. Why would this be any different? Just do it. 30 detectives were put on this case. Quickly, it was a mess. Remember how I mentioned that being gay is illegal and reflective of society's attitude towards the gay community? Well, this police investigation kind of turned into a gay witch hunt. It turned into an excuse for the police to bully, humiliate and out gay people. Detectives interviewed a huge number of gay men as witnesses, but mostly as suspects, despite having absolutely no connection to the murder or Charles. They were just picking gay men at random. By March, the gay community reported harassment to the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. March. It's only been like 2 months. And the gay community are already at their wits' end with the police. Like, it must have been incredibly invasive. And apparently the Irish Times heard about this complaint and they reported it in the paper. They reported that homosexuals complain that Garda have been demanding they agree to be fingerprinted, photographed and given statements. Many of these men were not openly gay, yet detectives repeatedly called and harassed them at their homes and work, forcing some of these men to reveal their sexual orientation to colleagues, friends and parents. And in the worst possible situation, a murder inquiry. This is when you have to come out of the closet during a murder investigation. Oh dear. Nice going. Real tactful. A spokesperson for the Irish Council of Civil Liberties said that it was almost as if the police were trying to draw up a profile, a list of the gays in Dublin. Then, in early April, people protested outside Pierce Street Garda Station over the homophobic harassment, as well as the failure to publicly issue the suspects' pictures. Not only were they harassing the community, they were not doing a good enough investigation for them. They weren't even trying. They just didn't try to solve the murder. A bollocks of an investigation. It really was like they were trying to make a list. And the police were completely unapologetic in their statement. They said, "If some people are hurt in relation to our inquiries, then I'm sorry, but we must go on. That was their official statement. That toxic thing. Like, I'm sorry, your feelings are hurt. The manipulative boyfriend. Is the police? Soon, Charles's murder was overshadowed by the Malcolm MacArthur murder spree in the same year, 1982. A local weirdo who spent his whole inheritance, then he robbed and killed people for money. Malcolm MacArthur was also known on the gay scene in Dublin, and apparently also to Charles self. Some have theorised that perhaps this was the dark, curly-haired man who came into Bertie's room at 2:30 a.m. I definitely want to do an episode on this guy too. And that is kind of it. The case has went cold since 1982. Although Garda say that the case is still open and active. I haven't heard anything, have you? In recent years, there has been some development. Although I'm not too sure how useful any of these developments have been or could be. In 2009, the Garda Serious Crime Review Team stated that they believed the elements of the crime scene were staged to deflect or impede the investigation or and deflect from the suspect. Charles's body was found at the bottom of the stairs slumped against the front door. The way he lay made it impossible for the door to be opened. Police at the time assumed that the killer fled through a small window in the kitchen in the back. However, there was a plant on the kitchen window sill, and if somebody hastily climbed out of that window, after all it was a brutal, violent, loud murder, they would have left quickly. This plant pot would have been knocked over or it would have spilled, but instead the police found the plant pot neatly placed on the ground. It was also apparent that the killer had moved the furniture because there was blood under the furniture. The Serious Crime Review Team also point out the murder motive. The original Garda investigation team were interviewing and interrogating rent boys as suspects, rather than witnesses or leads to other potential suspects. There was nothing at the crime scene to imply that the murder was a robbery gone wrong, like the original investigation team thought. Garda back then had it in their head that a rent boy killed Charles and panicked and fled out the back window. But nothing from the house had been stolen or attempted to be taken. It was an obvious crime of passion, anger, 14 stab wounds, slashed along the neck and strangled. It's overkill with an opportune weapon, a kitchen knife. Bertie Tyre died in December 1995, age 80, and the sketch he made has never seen the light of day. There were several calls from gay activists for Garda to release the sketch and the identikit photo. But even in 2022, which was the last article I found about it, still nothing. Shocking. I also wonder, why is Bertie not a suspect? Like, he was in the house at the time of the murder. I wonder if they did DNA on him. 95? Is that before DNA was used? It's suspicious that he was there, no? They must have had a reason for eliminating him. Although they didn't really do much of a job, did they? Charles, Charlie Self, was given a service at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church with a packed congregation. Then later the same day, Charles's body was flown to his aunt in Glasgow, where the funeral and the burial took place. Real quick, there is another weird twist to this story. 14 years later, also in January, the RTE guy who convinced Charles to move, Alfo O'Reilly, remember him, the actor and artist? Well, on the 4th of January 1996, he left his home in Sandymount, Dublin. He drove off in an apple green Mitsubishi Colt and has never been seen again. Nor his car has been found. Like what? What was going on with RTE? Is RTE safe? I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. It was like 30 years ago. Anyway, let's call it here, doll. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you to my patrons. If you want to be a patron, there's more episodes on there. Their names are on the screen right now. I think I forgot to say I'm drinking iced lemon tea. Slan. Oh, it's recording. I forgot. Oh, hello.